Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports on this rainy Wednesday. We haven't been able to say that very often since the calendar turned to 2022, but if you can hear our voice, you got rain, and maybe you're getting rain as we speak. Much needed rain all across the area, so that's good news out there right now is you can hear the thunder, maybe even over the microphone right here in our studio in Elk City. It's pouring down rain out there. Elk City missed a lot of it yesterday. Feeling it right now. So good stuff going on outside with the rain. Nothing overly serious, it doesn't look like. At least my phone hasn't bumped up. Anything that's the AccuWeather app has fired out there has been more on the flooding type things. And a flash flood warning in Clinton right now. Aerial flood advisory in the Hammond area. Those places were, you know, in the 2 to 3 inch range yesterday and getting a bunch of it right now as well. So, listen, as they say on the TV, turn around, don't drown. Don't be that person that
you see on TV.
That you see live on TV getting stuck in the rainwaters. Don't do it. Please. For the love of all that is the Skinny on Sports, don't get yourself caught in that situation.
It's not a puddle.
It's not a puddle.
Running water over the street is a bad thing. Don't drive over it.
Don't do it.
It's not worth it.
Thankfully, we got some rain going. Yep. Today, Big 12 meetings start down in Dallas. Going to have ADs today and tomorrow, yesterday and today. And then the presidents Thursday and Friday. We'll talk about a few things. They will talk about a few things. Here's some of the topics I think are interesting. Who's going to be in the conference? When?
Yeah.
With the imminent departure of what most people would consider the two flagships of the conference, whose voice is the biggest in that room? Is Oklahoma and Texas are in the room right now, as are the four new members. I mean, are they listening to anything OU Texas have to say? Why would they? And then one other thing. What about Bedlam? Is that going to continue? And does the Big 12, especially in football, because the TV contracts will be coming up as all these transitions are being made. And, oh, by the way, the Big 12 doesn't have a commissioner with Bowlesby being done. They're in the midst of a search for a new guy at completely the wrong time. But does the new Big 12 need that game in order to generate the revenue that the conference needs to be able to generate via the TV contract? To be able to go to the networks and say, we have Bedlam every other year. Because as a non-conference game, whoever's hosting that thing reaps the rewards monetarily from contracts. So it won't be an every year thing, but it could be an every other year thing. And how much clout would that have to the new Big 12? Do they need to do it? Would Oklahoma agree to it? Who knows? We'll talk about that. The LIV golf field has essentially been announced. 42 of the 48 players at the first tournament in London. It is public knowledge who those guys are. We'll tell you who's on the list. There's still six other names that will be there, five via the Asian Tour qualifier, and then one other person who was not in the initial set of announcements. Who is that? Who's the most surprising name on that list? And then what, if anything, will the PGA Tour do about guys that are currently members of their tour going to play for this? We also have the Western Conference Finals start last night in hockey. I'm telling you, you need to be watching the hockey. What an awesome, fun game that was. Bedlam Dreams dashed on the golf course yesterday morning. And another story we really haven't got into yet, and hopefully our commissioner's listening, because the Tommy Pham, Jock Peterson fantasy football dispute that caused Pham a 3-game suspension for shoving Peterson. He's now naming names. And he's put the fault at the commissioner of his league, one Mike Trout.
Hmm.
I can't decide how much tongue-in-cheek this is or how much for real it is. I don't know. We'll talk about it next. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of these things, whatever else might be in your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show by logging on to KADSAM.com or downloading the app. Paragon app has it all. Three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Saw that the boss man was out early today, gone before I got here even. So that means you'll be able to pick up the print copy of the Penny News in some locales tonight, everywhere by tomorrow. Go check that out. It's free. Just pick it up and read through it and see what you can find. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, when in season, those things are available through the app. And then, of course, outside of the app, we got the Skinny on Sports podcast, KADSAM, and iTunes. Miss the show entirely, you can go back and check that out. I know we've had a bunch of people go back from Friday's show and listen to that interview that we did with Brandon Culver talking about the Ironman triathlons that he's competed in and all that. Got big-time response from that day and what Brandon had to say. So that's an easy way to do it. iTunes or KADSAM.com. If you go the iTunes route, you can subscribe to the podcast. And when you do that, you're alerted each and every day when a new one drops. Hello, Jared.
How you doing?
So you missed the rain for the most part yesterday as well?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, we got sprinkles, but my rain gauge said 0.0.
A Blutarski. You got Blutarski.
As Wormer would say. Yeah, it's a little disappointing. Hopefully we're getting some of that stuff we just heard that way. How about you?
Same way. I mean, when we woke up, the pavement was wet, but not like it had rained. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
sprinkled. Yeah. It wasn't even like...
Yeah, that's what we got.
The driveway. You know it hadn't rained very hard when... It's not raining enough to get through we had a big tree that kind of shades half of our driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And when it rains, the whole thing gets wet. When it just kind of pitter-patters around underneath the tree, the rain never gets there. So it's almost like splotched, you know, and that's the way it was this morning when Wyatt and I left. It had not rained. It sprinkled and enough to get part of the pavement wet, but not all the pavement wet. But that's not the case right now, as it is pouring down
out here
in Elk City.
Looking at the radar, it's pretty much encompassing our listening area, maybe a little south of us, but it's coming. It's coming, granted. Don't worry about it. But all along I-40 corridor, all the way from the state line, looking like all the way
even out into Texas.
Yeah. A lot of rain, and that's definitely what we need. We need this rain spread out. Not just in one day, you know. Anywho, rain is rain. I'm not going to complain.
Spread out or not, at this point, we'll take it.
We'll take it. But, yeah, you got the flash flood warning that is in effect until noon, and I bet you they extend it if this rain doesn't go away for, let's see here, Clinton, Thomas, Rapo, Custer City, Butler, Foss Lake, and the Stafford area. Flash flooding of small creeks and streams, urban areas, highways, streets, and underpasses. Poor drainage areas, low-lying areas. Be careful out there, please. Turn around, don't drown.
Yeah, it looks like basically from a line, Stillwater down through Okarchi to probably what, Hinton?
Yeah.
Down toward Hollis. It's not all the way south there, but down through Mangum, obviously Elk getting it right now. Clinton, Watonga, as you mentioned, all those locations north and northwest of Weatherford and Clinton. It's pouring there. Clinton looks like it's probably pouring there as well. But the places that got a lot last night, you mentioned Foss, Butler, they were in the 3-inch range, and they're getting a ton of it right now as well.
So yeah.
It's needed. There's no doubt about it, but be careful. If you see water going across the road, just don't drive through it. You never know how deep it is.
No, I know.
Until the water is up to your window.
Moving water.
Then you go, oops.
Moving water is deceiving. You don't think it, but it is very powerful. You ever been like in a lazy river and just tried to stand in it? You know? you feel that push. I mean, just it doesn't take a lot of water to do that. So it could easily push your car, your vehicle off the road. So just don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, getting photos from in town here at Elk. Yeah, it's pouring.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You can kind of hear it outside.
We can
too.
Hear it.
All right, so we haven't really talked much about this fantasy football kerfuffle that's invaded the Major League Baseball
realm. Man, I'm glad it doesn't get that heated in our league.
Why isn't that?
Why isn't it heated in our
yes.
league?
Yes.
Maybe because they are spending thousands of dollars in their league.
So how the story today about Tommy Pham kind of giving it a little bit to Mike Trout. It calls it a big money fantasy league.
I believe
what
it.
Do you think that means?
Oh, buy-ins are huge.
Give me a number.
You're talking at the minimum. Man, I couldn't only imagine, dude. At the minimum.
Like 10 G's minimum, right?
Yeah, something like that. And then maybe a payout for first, second, third, however they design it. But I can see why it could get heated because there's that much money on the line. So a slap came.
Yes.
Because there's a disagreement about
IR.
Basically IR and stashing players and stuff like that. But then you're going to help me with the names, but the victim of the slap.
Jock Peterson.
He basically screenshotted rules, say, I can do this, which I don't blame him. If it is allowed in said fantasy football league, then what's he doing wrong?
I think,
breaking an unwritten code?
I think here's the problem. Because, I mean, everybody that plays fantasy football, who hasn't tried to make a move on whatever app you use, mm-hmm. and it shuts you down? Nope, can't do that. It's against the rules
right.
of your league, right? So here's where I think the problem has arisen. They use the ESPN app. The app allowed the move.
Correct.
He's saying they had their own individual rules that should have disallowed this. And this is where I'm afraid he's bringing Mike Trout in. And I think he's sort of joking because he starts out saying Trout did a terrible job. He's the worst commissioner of fantasy sports.
This is fun.
Because he allowed a lot of S to go on, and he could have solved it all. But then he says, I don't want to be the blanking commissioner. I've got other S to do. Trout didn't want to do it. We put it on him, so it's kind of our fault, too, because we made him the commissioner.
Ah.
So he starts out kind of firing bullets at Trout, and then he eases off at the end. I guess the problem in all of this seems to be, first off, an interpretation of IR between a few people. And then I'm afraid Mike Trout, in his duties as commissioner, did not set up the app correctly with the correct rules in place to disallow what Jock Peterson did, which Tommy Pham thinks was cheating. Now, he did say Peterson said the IR move was legal because the app let him, basically.
Yeah.
And Pham says, yeah, the app let him, but we had our own individual rules, and I think that's where he brings in Trout. So this is a cautionary tale to all the commissioners out there of fantasy sports, fantasy football especially, because that's the main one everybody plays. Make sure the rules of the league are the rules of the app.
Yeah.
I got no problem with Jock Peterson. I got no problem.
No?
What's he supposed to do about it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's hard to say he didn't know he was cheating because I think he clearly did. But he also has the fallback on, well, Mike allowed it on the app. What am I supposed to do? It let me do it. I mean, you can almost play dumb. Even if you were cheating, and then the app lets you. What do you mean? I didn't know you couldn't do that. The app let me. What
right.
am I supposed to do?
Right. It's a perfect defense. I didn't know I couldn't do that. It's a perfect defense. That, man, this sounds
like
it
depends on what the meaning of the word is. Is.
What now? It sounds like Mike Trout was thrown on the bus here. He was forced to be a commissioner, now has to take the blame for all this stuff. wouldn't you think they could find a guy, just a guy, not even a player, just go, we want to, you'll get a certain percentage if you are our commissioner and you keep everything in line and make sure everybody's doing things the right way, because we don't have time to reach out and say, hey, you got to move this guy, or you can't put that guy on IR, all that stuff. Sounds brilliant.
It's kind of like
I'm surprised that isn't a thing where somebody's like, hey, hire me to be your commissioner for the big rollers, for the big time guys like this.
It's kind of like the idea of you get to a restaurant and you fire a $100 bill out there and you tell the waiter or the waitress, that's your tip until it's not. And every time they screw something up, you take $10 out or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like that idea for the, okay, you get 10% off the top, but once you start screwing things up, that goes away.
Yeah.
But you're right. You'd think somebody would have already made this a business.
Right?
I mean, they do everything.
Kind of like those high roller poker games. What was that movie that girl was in? Her last name was Bloom. Anyways. Where she would set up these high roller.
Oh, yeah. It's a true story.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. I know exactly what you're talking about.
She would set these games up and then make a killing. I'm surprised somebody's done that for fantasy leagues. Where they're like, okay, I'm going to set this up. I'll control everything. I'm the commissioner. I got nothing.
You guys
do what you guys do. Just, you know, and I'll let you know, hey, you need to make a trade, or you got a guy that's injured. You got starting, you know, we get it. I get it. I do it too. If my team is 2-5, I start to lose interest, and then there's probably some other players on my team that other people might need. You know, I've done that before. I'm guilty. I think we're all guilty of it. But, you know, a guy that say, hey, you need to be more, you need to participate a little bit more, or you need to do this, or, hey, you're breaking a rule here, I don't want to have to fine you. A guy that, a commissioner, you know, just, I'm surprised there isn't. I think we're on to something.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Our commissioner does a good job.
The thing about it is, if you, I mean, you're not talking about for like me and you.
No.
Drew's stuck. Sorry about your luck, Drew. You're going to be the guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for the guys that are paying 10 Gs to play, yeah. wouldn't you even want to, if you're one of those players, I think you would rather have a neutral party making the decisions.
That too. That's another perk to this. He's not a player.
That's right. He's
a neutral guy that's monitoring this high stakes fantasy football league.
And then you get into the deal where, you know, everybody's got money in that league, obviously. So if you are that commissioner, then who's to say you don't take an extra little bit to allow a move?
Now you're getting scandalous.
Yes. Of course, you ought to be. You're the one making all the money. You're kind of like the keeper. But anyway, I thought that it's a really, it's a fun story, because most people know about fantasy football, and they can kind of relate. Maybe not in this, but you know, everybody's got to. Oh, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe they let that trade happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's why you need very bad consequences for those that finish at the bottom.
Oh, you mean like entering into a golf tournament, or
yeah, like playing the U.S. Open
or
qualifier?
Yeah, some kind of embarrassing punishment. Yeah.
Another text. This is exactly right, because this one was a little bit bothersome when it happened, but I don't know what you do about it. The couple of weeks that Taysom Hill played quarterback, even though he's listed as a tight end. What do you do? I mean, there's not much. I mean, Cordero Patterson was kind of that way. I think he was a wide receiver in most, but he really kind of played running back. But to me, though, that is just being good at playing and taking advantage of that situation when it pops up.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the wires or what have you.
Right.
And being able to pick or understanding what, you know, with Cordero Patterson, understanding what he's going to be. You know, you can make the case that Deebo Samuel was a little bit that way as well. So I think that's just being good at playing fantasy, not necessarily cheating. The Taysom Hill one's a little bit different. That one's a tough. You just got to deal with it, I guess. Because, you know, the app itself is the one kind of managing the listing of the players. It's not like you got a commissioner going through the whole rosters of people.
Like,
my Lord, that would suck.
Well, like they did it before the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty interesting 30 for 30. The silly little game about starting fantasy baseball.
I have not
Rotisserie
seen
baseball is what it's called back
right.
then.
Rotisserie.
It was like the third one.
I need to check it out.
And the guy talks about having to go through the box scores daily to send out updates. And say it's pretty fascinating. Bad news yesterday for our Bedlam dreams.
Yes.
On the golf course anyway, as Oklahoma and Oklahoma State fell in the quarterfinals out at Greyhawk in Scottsdale. Oklahoma State was pretty well behind Texas the entire time. The Horns win 3-2. OU and Arizona State back and forth. The last match actually went to 19 holes, and it looked like OU might even have an advantage on that 19th hole with redshirt freshman Stephen Campbell knocking it in there pretty close. But Cameron Sisk, the senior from Arizona State, made birdie on the 10th hole, which was the 19th hole of the match. Campbell couldn't match it, and OU went out 3-2 to Arizona State. So both Bedlam schools bow out in the quarterfinals. That means you won't see either one of them at the my mind just went blank. East Lake Cup, because that's reserved for just the semifinalists from the men's and the women's at Atlanta in the fall. And really disappointing for both. They came in number one and number two in the country into the national tournament. First time ever that the top eight, according to the golf stat rankings, were the eight that advanced into match play. So you knew it was going to be close, man. It was so much fun with Edmonton versus Colorado. Colorado led, I mean, they it was, what, 2-3 to 2 at the end of the first period, 7-3 going into the third. Edmonton clawed back in it to down 7-6, and then an empty netter there at the end. So 8-6, Colorado defeats Edmonton game one. So it's 1-0 Avalanche. The Eastern Conference final starts tonight. But, you know, for those of you that say, oh, hockey's boring, they never score, wrong. Edmonton, the game one of their previous series, they got beat 9-6. In this one, they get beat 8-6. Just fast and furious. And with Edmonton, the guys that they have with McDavid, Kane, I can't remember how to pronounce that other guy's name, Deepshish or something like that. They've got offensive firepower all throughout. So it's going to take something like that to beat them.
Yeah. If there's any comfort for Oiler fans, they, one, scored a lot of goals, so I think they could shore up the giving up that many goals. And two, in this entire playoff run, they've dropped the opening round or the opening game in each round. So they know they can bounce back, and they've got to force a split here. And I think after last night, they know they can do it, but they got to figure out the goalie situation. Got to figure that one out. But Colorado, though, they've been good all year. Going into the playoffs, that was the question, was not can Tampa Bay defend. It's who's going to take down Colorado, because they are tough. If it is a Colorado-Tampa Bay final, I would not be disappointed with that, because that you can almost flip a coin on that one. But I would lean Colorado, but I'm not counting out Edmonton. I think they're going to be okay. I think they'll make this a series despite giving up 8 goals last night.
Yeah, I mean, either way, for most people that don't necessarily – there might be some Edmonton ties because of before here. Mm-hmm. But for most people without necessarily a team, I think this is really good for the NHL. Finally getting back on ESPN, TNT, you know, more of a limelight for their playoffs and their finals. Just the entertainment value of what we saw last night can really help that league coming back from kind of the dead after they had the lockout and got off of, you know, where they were kind of known to be with ESPN. So hopefully that can turn things around and people can figure out just how much fun it is to watch playoff hockey.
Yes.
Just hanging out, trying not to get electrocuted.
Holding your breath, hoping the power stays on. Just a normal stormy day in western Oklahoma. A couple couple tidbits. You know what's cool? They announced the cover for
I just saw that
Madden.
Yes, and tell everybody who it is.
And it's Madden. It is
as it should be.
The late John Madden. First time since 2000, he's going to be on the cover. So very cool. Very cool news there. And this guy has become an overnight sensation in a way. The guy, everyone's seen the picture at the PGA Championship in Tulsa where Tiger's teeing off. I don't think he's teeing off. I don't remember what shot it was, but everyone's holding a phone, and this dude is just holding a beer, enjoying the legend of golf, swing a club. Well, that guy got an endorsement from Michelob Ultra, an endorsement deal. So I don't know what that entails. He just has to show up and hold their beer and watch him golf.
He did well there.
I'm sure he's not complaining about that $18 beer.
Turned out it worked out for him.
Heck of an investment. That's cool. Put the phones down, kids.
That's the moral to the story.
That's the moral of the story.
Well, we've been watching some Duck Dynasty. And when you go back to kind of the first ones.
Yeah.
It's a huge theme from one Phil Robertson.
Put the phones down.
Put down the cell phone. Put down the cell phone. And so we kind of try to put down the cell phones.
Yeah, I'm guilty of it.
No doubt.
I'm guilty of it.
It's so much of a reflex action. It's not even a conscious choice a lot of the time.
Well, like last night, I kept wondering, where's this rain? And so my first instinct was not turn to David Payne or anyone else. It was grab my phone and open the radar.
Yep.
I mean, it's such a tool, but stuff like that, I've seen people, they're holding their phones up, recording a putt, and they're just look at their phones like, man, soak it in real life. You can go back and watch it later. Anyways, that's a cool deal. Cool deal. Well, I'm without internet over here, so do you have internet?
I do.
Oh, good for you.
I'm rolling. The LIV. Do we know what does that stand for?
I don't know.
LIV Golf. It's the new tour. Greg Norman kind of spearheading it. Lots of people think Phil Mickelson's involved as well, and that's why he's not really been seen.
Right.
For months. So their first event is next week. Thursday through Saturday. In London, the 9th through 11th, June 9th through the 11th, squeezed right between the Memorial, which is this week on the PGA Tour, Jack's event, and then the following week after the LIV is the U.S. Open to be played up at the Country Club at Brookline. And it's long been rumored names that would be on this list to play with the Saudi money. I got to be honest with you. The guy that's headlining this list, I don't necessarily remember his name ever coming up. And that name is Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson is the headliner of the field for the first LIV golf event coming up in London.
I know what LIV stands for.
What is it?
It's the Roman numeral, and I thought this because it looked like a Roman numeral, for 54. Because they're only playing, it's a 54-hole
event. Yeah, yeah, that's one of the caveats and one of the things that Greg Norman is hoping, or was hoping, or is still hoping, would be an enticement to these guys, is one less round of golf for way more money. And the winner of this thing is going to take them $4 million.
Yeah, who doesn't want to work more and get, or work less and get paid
more?
More,
right. All right, so aside from Dustin Johnson, which I think was a pretty major shock to a lot of people, but should it have been? And here's why I say that. He's 37. Any aspirations that he might have had as far as, you know, career majors and that kind of thing, that ship has sailed. He's not breaking any records. He's not chasing down Tiger or chasing down Jack. It's just not going to happen. So when you think about where he's at as far as 37 years old, has a major, so he actually won two now with the U.S. Open and a Masters. And where he's at in life, just got married. It actually, I think we talked about what is the mold. Like, who is the guy they're looking for? This is like the perfect guy. Because he's toward the end of his prime. He's not necessarily out of his prime, but he's clearly, you know, he's toward the end of it, getting closer to 40. He's made a ton of money, but... And with his attitude and the way, you know, his demeanor is.
Yeah.
I wish I could have had the foresight to see this before it happened. Because once you see it happen and after you go, oh my gosh, it's Dustin Johnson, then when you really start thinking about it, it's like, yeah, that makes sense. I could see it. If you don't care and you don't have any aspirations of winning a ton more majors at his age, the money he's made, knock down another couple, you know, a few years of this, 20 more million in the bank, and be done with it. And he kind of seems like the type of guy that would do that. And then just go chill on some South Carolina beach with his smoking hot wife for the rest of his life.
And make all the money you can and retire early. And he does seem like a guy like that. And I didn't realize how old he was until you said that. And yeah, he's at that point in his career where, I mean, he's won enough where he's considered one of the better golfers in the world. And why not, you know, put the cherry on top and go make a lot more money? Hard to blame him. And he does seem like that guy.
Yeah, it was initially shocking. Like, whoa, Dustin Johnson, no way. But then once I started thinking about it and kind of where his lot in life is and where he's at as a player and is, you know, his whatever legacy he might, I mean, it's kind of cemented. Like, he can't turn that thing way around. I mean, you know, he's always going to be the guy that won a couple and should have won more. When you talk about majors, think about the ones that he let slip. Ton of them. I mean, he could be that guy that's five or six or seven pretty easily with the way that he's melted down in some at the end of some of these things. So that one isn't as surprising as another name that's on this list for me.
Who's that?
To me, the most surprising name on this list comes from right here in the state of Oklahoma. Taylor Gooch. That's a surprising one for me. He's 30. It feels like he's kind of entrenching himself onto the PGA Tour. He got a win at the end of last year. He's up in the top, what, five or so, top 10 of the FedEx Cup rankings right now with the way he's been playing. Only 30. And it seems like he kind of has career ahead of him on tour. It's surprising. He was the one to me. It was pretty surprising because it felt like, and we don't know, I'm sure the tour will come out today or tomorrow or sometime soon with here's how we feel about it, and we will talk about that in a second, what might be the ramifications of these guys being on this list. But he's the guy that feels like, to me, from America, PGA Tour aspirations, finally kind of got a foothold and a bunch of status with a win, and, you know, everything moving forward for him looked really positive on tour. I'm kind of surprised he made this move. I'm actually very surprised he made this move. He just doesn't, of all the people on this list, he's the one that doesn't really fit because of where he's at in his career and with the way that he's been playing. It just seemed like he was one that was kind of starting to get entrenched on tour and one of those younger guys that everybody talked about going into different tournaments. And now here he is, and we don't know what his future will be on the PGA Tour.
Does, when you see the names on this list, and those who are choosing to play at this thing or at these events, does it have you questioning their character? Is it more revealing of what type of people they are? And based on where they are in their career and their age, that's definitely a factor. But, you know, sometimes a guy like who's 30 or maybe even some 20-something-year-olds who are choosing to, you know, you see what I'm saying? It'd be hard for me to say no to money. I'm going to be flat out. That's no secret. I'm a capitalist, like a lot of, you know, make that money. I'm good with that. It's hard for me to blame people like that. But does it reveal characters maybe in a good or bad way to you?
I have a hard time with the people that are...
Do you see people on the list go, yep, that doesn't shock me at all?
Oh, no, there's a bunch of those.
Yeah.
I mean, all the kind of European / South African, Australian guys that are advanced in age or advanced, you know, Sergio, I mean, we knew he was gone.
Oh, he made that clear. Yeah.
He made that clear on the golf course. But you knew Sergio, guys like Lee Westwood, Poulter, those guys, of course. I mean, they're toured. This is kind of like their last payday. You know, you always talk about in other sports, get that last big contract.
Sure.
That's what this is for a lot of those guys. Sergio's, you know, Louis Oosthuizen, even though he's performed great in the majors over the last couple of years, but he's still kind of in that category. Schwartzel is there. As I mentioned, Westwood and Poulter. Those guys, that's not shocking at all. And another name that's a young guy, Andy Ogletree. He's an American, but he's like the 14th, 100th ranked player. He won the USAM in 2019. But why it doesn't surprise me that he's on this list, he doesn't have any status. He's trying to get to where Taylor Gooch is right now. That's why Gooch is surprising to me, because he finally got himself entrenched with status on the tour with that win. 3-year exemption. He's in the majors. You know, he's ranked in the top 50. So he's 35th in the world. So he's in everything that he wants to be. And that's seemingly what you work for. And is he throwing that away for this? That remains to be seen. I mean, how is the USGA going to handle this? How is the Masters going to handle this?
Yeah.
You know, the PGA of America, those things are separate from the tour. And the PGA Tour, you know, it feels like a lawsuit's coming to me, because if they want to try to ban these guys, then I think you're going to see a lawsuit, because a lot of the players feel like they are independent contractors, and that's, you know, what is the membership to the tour versus, you know, being just an independent contractor able to work wherever. And the weird thing is, you know, there's conjunction with the European Tour and the PGA and all that, but they've never cared about any of this before. So why now? And I think it's the money
that they're threatened.
That's exactly it. For the first time ever, they feel threatened.
There's a challenge.
There is a challenger.
What do you think at the end of the day? What happens here?
It's really, don't know.
It's hard to see the PGA being irrelevant. I mean, it's like we're talking about the PGA like they're the NCAA. Like, we know what's going to happen to the NCAA.
I don't. I think it depends. I think it totally depends on what. I don't know that the PGA Tour locking these guys out, I don't know what that does. Okay, whatever. We'll just play 8 events, make more money anyway. But I think the one thing, as far as keeping other guys from doing it, is the majors, is Augusta. You know, that's, to me, that's the detriment, because you said something earlier. Who wouldn't want to work less and make more? And with the money they're throwing around, or if you just have a conviction about not taking money from the Saudis, but if you have that conviction, you damn sure shouldn't be over there playing in the European Tour event that they host, or Dubai, or any of those others that do the same thing with the civil liberties atrocities that they commit. So if you have that stance here, you better not have been playing in those in the first place, because then you're a hypocrite.
It's true.
So I'm anxious to see what the tour does. I don't know what that's going to mean. I mean, you know, I keep thinking of one guy. When I saw Andy Ogletree on that list, my mind immediately went to one guy from right down the road. Like, what if that was Quaid?
Hmm.
You know, Quaid Cummins is battling his tail off to try to secure a PGA Tour card for next year. He's like right in the middle 60s on the Korn Ferry Tour, have to be in the top 25. You know, what would a guy like that think if he was offered a spot?
It'd be life-changing.
Both ways, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe both ways. Because are you throwing away any chance you ever had of playing on the PGA Tour by going the short-term financial gain route over there? It's interesting. It's super. I think it's surprising the field is 48. I wonder if it'll be more when they come to when the second event. It's at Pumpkin Ridge up in Portland, so maybe it's more being on American soil. Maybe it's less. I don't know. But there are still six spots. The 42 of the 48 man field has been named. Five spots will go to qualifier from the Asian Tour, from an Asian Tour event, and then one spot. Who is that? There's no qualifying for it. They have one spot set aside for who?
Tiger?
Mm-mm. It won't be him.
Phil?
Now, that would be the shocker of all shockers.
That would be the shocker.
I think it's one of two guys. Phil or Bryson.
Ah.
Waiting to see if he's healthy enough with the wrist.
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering, if it's one of those two guys.
Very interesting. Now, when's the first event again?
Next week.
Next week. It'll be interesting to see what happens here.
It really will. Aren't you hoping it's Phil?
Absolutely.
Just to see him again.
Absolutely.
Wonder what the crowds would be like.
I don't know. You think? I don't know.
The field for what they're throwing, it's pretty underwhelming. Without getting a bunch of these other guys. Big 12 meeting's going on this week down in Dallas. The AD's meeting a couple days. The president's the next couple of days. Lots of decisions to be made. Who's going to be in the conference? When? What to do about the TV contract that's expiring? You're set to renew in 2025. I think it's super interesting because most observers over the past, for sure, decade, since Missouri, A&M, Nebraska, Colorado left, I think most people would assume that Oklahoma and Texas have been kind of the leaders of the conference, the voices inside those meeting rooms that carried the most weight. They're still there as of right now. They're in these meetings, as are the four incoming members, which is BYU, UCF, Houston, and Cincinnati. So in that room right now, over the next few days, whose voice is the one that's the leader? Whose voice is the one that people are listening to? Whose voice is the one that's getting heard?
Great question, because the commissioner is stepping down.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So kind of lame duck there. And you mentioned the OU-Texas stuff, but I still think when OU-Texas, when the brass talks, there's people quiet down. They're going to listen because they're going to be listening for, when are you guys really leaving? You know, we can't move forward as a conference when there, you know, there's, like you mentioned, the plans in place to bring in the new teams, the new schools, and then there's the TV deals and stuff like that. And but that's the big question, I think. And it's been I'm surprised we haven't had a concrete date, you know, other than what we think is going to happen for OU Texas when they're going to join the SEC. And I think that's going to be the big question. And then anytime OU and Texas talks, that's the answer they're going to be trying to listen for, is when, you know, are they going to indicate when they're going to leave? You know, will the buyout come early? Did they get out of there early? Or are they going to, you know, leave when they said they're going to leave? So I still think they listen. That those are the two big players are OU and Texas.
Yeah, I don't believe that for one second.
You don't think so?
No. They're not listening to them for anything as far as making decisions for the new conference. Why would they care?
That's what I said, to make decisions for the new conference.
Yeah, but they don't care what they honestly, I'm surprised they're there, to be quite honest with you. And that tells me that are they really going to be there through the end of 2024? Is that the signal that we're supposed to be reading? And because they're participating, that means that they're actually going to be in a 14-team league for a year or two?
Do they have to be there?
They may, yeah, maybe the bylaws require them to be there.
I mean, they could get in trouble or fined or whatever.
Do you think, because a lot of people have speculated that the money coming from a buyout, at least on the Texas side, is kind of through ESPN via the Longhorn Network, right? Should we read anything into the fact that Oklahoma just signed a deal with ESPN Plus to disseminate their third-tier television rights? Is that the precursor to ESPN paying this to get this new contract kick-started with the SEC, in which they paid exorbitant amount of money to take away the game of the week from CBS?
So you're saying that ESPN is basically a way to ESPN to
fund the move.
Funnel money to OU to help them raise the funds to get out early?
Correct.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it made more, you know, that my first reaction was this makes sense to move to this ESPN platform because they're going to be on the SEC network when they make the move,
that's right,
which is ran by ESPN. So it'd be an easy transition for everybody involved. But I can see that. I never thought of it that way.
Just to make it happen faster.
Yep. Kind of like an investment. They're going to get a return, obviously.
What are your thoughts on where we're at with Bedlam moving forward? When it's not a conference game, will it happen?
What? That's a great question. I think the another question is, are we talking across the board all sports, or are we just talking just football? I think it's more likely that we'll have Bedlam every year with other sports. It's the football's the big question because there's other commitments with other non-conference schools, games for both sides, and that both sides can say, "Hey, we've been in." I'm trying to find an example.
Well, for instance, Alabama is scheduled to play OSU.
There you go. Do you think OSU wants to get rid of that game in favor of Bedlam?
Or play them both.
Or play them both in the same year?
Well, they're going to anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they agreed to it as with knowing OU was a conference opponent.
It's true. I don't know. I mean, I think for the fans, they want that. They want Bedlam.
I think for the Big 12 Conference, the new Big 12, they want that. Because what is one of the easiest ways to up the value of that new conference's television deal?
Yeah.
Being able to say, hey, every other year, you reap the rewards of Bedlam when it's played in Stillwater. I think it makes all the sense in the world for the new Big 12 Conference financially. Now, how much sense does it make for either side competitively? Now, that's a different question. I think the one thing that does help them both is that it is a non-conference game. And I think you got to view this through the lens with the assumption of it's going to be an 8 to 12 team playoff eventually in 3 years or whatever at the end of 2025. This thing is getting expanded to at least 8. Seems like most people want 12 that are there or at least involved. And so at that point, you know, the argument of, oh, man, we can't play that game and then the conference, it's a little wishy-washy to me anyway, because both teams will have the chance to make that up in winning a conference title. Obviously, you know, in Oklahoma's view, that's a harder road to hoe because of the conference they're going to be playing in, at least right now, with what the SEC is. But I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. I don't think, at least in football, I don't think they're playing.
No, I think it's going to turn into a Texas A&M situation. It kind of, you see that?
Yeah, maybe without the animosity, but without, just...
Yeah, not saying that OSU's being stubborn like A&M has been. And yeah, I think I agree. I think they want it. They want Bedlam. I think they've made that clear. But I don't know. I can see it being like that, and then we're going to go a few years without it. And there'll be cries from the mountaintops of Black Mesa saying, we as fans and us as media members, we want to see that game year in and year out. So, I think that once the move happens, I don't think we'll see Bedlam for a little bit. I'm kind of with you on that. Until they sit down and go, okay, let's schedule a non-conference and let's make this an annual thing. Because I think there are cooler heads both for OU and OSU to make that happen. Unlike the situation down in College Station.
Which makes every single Bedlam, starting with this one, possibly the last.
I know.
Possibly the last chance to have scoreboard.
Right.
I mean, as early as this one could be it. For at least, I don't think it's it forever, but at least it for a little while. And I truly think that it will be, if you want to say it, this may be a little bit too much, but if you want to say the blood of the Bedlam series will be on the hands of Oklahoma, I believe. Because I think Oklahoma will be the ones that don't want to play it.
Right.
Versus OSU. Because I think the benefits of not only Oklahoma State, but also the conference of the new Big 12 are really great to have that game. And I don't know what the benefits are for Oklahoma, at least to begin their road in the SEC with how tough that schedule is going to be anyhow. And then you start playing that game first or second week. Yikes. And that's a testament to what Mike Gundy has built at Oklahoma State for OU to not dodge it, but decline it. Because before he got there, even back in the late 90s, all the way back throughout history, Oklahoma would have been more than happy to play that game.
Yep.
Not now.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different animal up there. And so I think that's the amount of respect that shows the program that he's built, I think ought to make, Oklahoma, that ought to be the sadness of maybe it going away, but that's kind of the cherry on top for OSU fans of, hey, they're a little bit scared of us because of what we are. And I think that's right.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to see if we get anything out of it, though, throughout the weekend, throughout the rest of the week, and what we can kind of read the tea leaves of when these moves might be happening. Because it feels like everybody coming in is trying their darndest to do it next year. Will OU and Texas be there to play? Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!